Hello, I'm Mark Steiner here with comedian Michelle, who joins us once again for her visit every month.
Hello there, Mark. Hello, WEA family. It's so good to be here as usual.
As usual. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah?
Yeah. Feeling good.
Well, we talked about a lot of things leading up to this conversation on the air today.
Yeah, we did.
Folks, lines are open, 410-319-8888. We talked about a couple of things. I mean, one that we don't have to talk about now because I'm going to do a show about it later, but it is the 150th anniversary today of Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Dun, dun, dun.
And some really good stuff written about that just because, you know, people use that word, Uncle Tom.
Oh, yeah. To this day, like, that becomes, you're an Uncle Tom, it's not a good thing.
But when it was first uttered in the 19th century, Uncle Tom was just the opposite.
It was a great thing to be.
Was a powerful figure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And died so that other slaves could be free and wouldn't say where they were.
Absolutely. He was right up there with Nat Turner, who was one of my favorite people.
And they put these minstrel shows on in the 1880s and 1890s that made Uncle Tom into the Uncle Tom that we
know today.
Talk about today.
Tommen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Mark. So I know you're going to do a great show on that, so I'm not going to make your listeners today deal with that. We definitely know that you're going to do a great show on that. But that is a whole show in and of itself.
It is.
You and I both know that.
Well, we are. What you got? Let me see this.
Yeah. It's a cool article in the Urbanite, WEA family. The June issue of the Urbanite. They did a really great story called Yuck It Up about me, Michelle, the indie mom of comedy. Just a little shameless plug. But it's a really great article. I was really excited about getting asked to definitely share in Urbanite. It's one of my favorite magazines here in Baltimore.
It is. Well, we do our Urbanite stories every month. How come you're not one of our Urbanite stories?
I don't know. I don't know if I've gotten a pass yet for that. I don't know.
You could be one of our Urbanite stories.
So I absolutely could.
So
yeah.
You talk here about The Wiz?
I talk about, yeah, you didn't know I was Dorothy in The Wiz for two seasons in undergrad. It was the highest grossing musical theater production at Bowie State University back when I was there. They've not topped it since. So I hold the record for the highest grossing musical theater production at Bowie State University to date, I think. Let me know if I'm wrong, Professor Moffitt.
So you sang your way through it?
I sang my way through it. I closed every night with Home. With the signature song that Stephanie Mills sung on Broadway, and I was told the guy who's our musical director played in the band when Stephanie Mills was on Broadway singing in The Wiz, and so it was really cool to have him there directing the orchestra.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah, I've been singing my whole life.
I mean, I know you're multi-talented, but I had no idea.
Oh wow, Mark.
You are. And The President's Birthright and What's Funny in Life.
Yep. Yeah. It's a really cool article. So you guys pick up the Urbanites. You can see what's going on besides what you think you know about Michelle, the indie mom of comedy.
All right. So now, listeners think here, 410-319-8888. There's a whole issue here about the difference between men and women in politics.
I love it, Mark.
Right?
There's a huge difference. It's a colossal difference. You and I know this. I mean, you lead in because this is your thing. You know, you love these dichotomous things. Let's deal with this dichotomy here, please.
I mean, men in power. We see people like Arnold Schwarzenegger and...
We talked about that before.
Mr. Wiener.
The Wieners.
and his Twitter.
Absolutely. Or the lack thereof.
The Twittering Wiener. And it's really a disappointment, given what he was trying to stand for, and then he let that happen to himself. Well, he did to himself, not what he let happen to himself, what he
right.
did to himself.
Thanks for correcting that. Yeah.
Right, what he did to himself. There is a thing about men in power and what they expect out of that power.
Mm-hmm.
And
the delusions of grandeur that give you exemption in moments where the rest of the world are absolutely accountable for their actions. It seems that men in power in particular seem that they get an exemption. And this is not something that I'm stating. This is behavioral. You know, it goes by, we see these behaviors that are absolutely deplorable. But because I have, you know, a certain title, I should get a pass. And it's not the case, Mark. It's just not the case. It keeps showing up. And I wish that these guys would pass a memo to one another and share. It's not working. They're catching us in droves. Run. Run for your life. Go back to your wife. Confess. Apologize. Buy her something from Tiffany's, like Newt. You know, get a nice little line of credit at Tiffany's. What the ham sandwich was Newt buying at Tiffany's? And he will not tell. He will not tell, Mark.
Of course he's not going to tell.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Yeah, all right then.
Newt. He's always been a man of...
It's a perfect name for him, though.
Contradictory, yeah.
Like
contradictory
Fig
lies.
Newton.
Little amphibious creature. You should be lucky to be an amphibious creature. But men have this thing when you're in power.
Mm-hmm.
People look up to them. Women follow them. They think that every smile means that they have to take advantage of that smile into something else, right?
Yeah.
But women in politics take a different path, it seems.
Yeah.
Many people argue that women in politics take a path that is almost reluctant to get into politics.
I don't know. You reluctant? You think that's a good word for it, Mark? I don't know if that's the best word.
What do you think the best word is?
I think they're more deliberate. I think reluctant means that they're, you know, skittish, not sure. I think they're deliberate. When they choose politics, there is a sense of I've done the research. I've done the, what do you call that? There's something you do in economics, but it's some cost risk or something, some sort of paradigm that they actually weigh out in their mind's eye before they actually take that leap into the world of politics. They except for Sarah Palin, she's the only one that didn't consider any of this. She just got in because she could speak in a teleprompter. She's really good at speaking, whereas Brooke Shields isn't. If you saw the Tonys the other night, Brooke Shields sucked on the teleprompter. But anyway, so in other words, I think women are a little bit more deliberate when it comes to their engagement in politics. And with that deliberate nature, some of the big booby traps that seem to be, for whatever reasons, that men don't see, women see them coming and they avoid them like the bubonic plague.
Well, clearly women are not getting caught up in these sexual power scandals that men are being caught up.
No.
Up in all through Capitol Hill and every other state government. Why is that? I mean, what are our listeners saying? 410-319-8888. You know, what's your representative Candy Miller of a Republican said, I'm telling you, every time one of these sex scandals goes, we just look at each other like these women looking at each other. We just look at each other like, what is it with these guys? Do they think they're going to get, don't they think they're going to get caught?
Well, right.
That's one level of it.
And then, you know, you think about, you know, stuff like, you know, the story why women rule the world should rule the world, and she was Dee Dee Myers, a press secretary to Bill Clinton, who managed to survive his sex scandal. She did, and she's the author of Why Women Should Rule the World. She pretty much says that male politicians feel invincible. She says they feel invincible, and there's a level of validity to that, Mark. I mean, you would think after the president gets caught with what's her name, Lewinsky. You would never go there. You would never even have a scandal. You would be scandal-free, but it still happens. You got Mr. Weiner. You've got Fig Newton. You've got everybody doing what they do. So it's amazing.
I mean, somebody commented that women run for office because they want to do something, and men run for office because they want to be somebody.
Oh, wow. I love that. I love that for a whole lot of reasons. So I'm going to be real careful with that one, Mark.
Because don't be careful.
I'm married to a man, and I happen to like him very much.
He's a good man.
But the deal is, Mark, women do run because they have a sense of service. And I believe that what's missing in the male schism is that the service becomes, I'm important. You need to know how cool I am. I can make things happen. I can raise the most money. I know the most people. I look good in this suit. I do real well when I have to speak. It's less to do with serving and more to do with posturing. And it's more to do with ego, you know, centered behaviors. Whereas women, they can look like a goat and run. Like a man has to have a certain look.
We always thought it was the opposite, though.
No, Mark, men have to have a certain look. Look, you gotta have a hairline or no hairline at all. You know what I mean? Like you have to have hair or no hair. There's no in between. You ever notice that men who don't have a definitive hairline aren't presidents? Think about it.
I never noticed that.
Either they're completely bald. Or there's this delusion. They got the Trump hookup going on or something to derail you into thinking they have a hairline. But I'm being facetious, but you think about it. Women have to be extremely conservative. I mean, look at what Mrs. Clinton has finally done. She's letting her hair grow. Have you noticed that? She looks more feminine now that she's not the president. She is the secretary, but she looks more feminine. When she was running, she looked like, I mean, she's kind of sterile, Mark. There was no sexuality around Hillary Clinton at all. It was almost as if she had no sexuality at all. She was just smart. That's all you needed to know. But then Palin comes. She gives you the glasses. That's her mark of intelligence. She pins up the bouffant because, you know, she really rocks a bouffant when she's doing the whole, you know, when she's doing that whole pageantry thing, the bouffant comes out, babe. But when she was hanging out with McCain, she twisted it up. She put a nice little clip in it. She tossed the glasses on and she found the most conservative suit that she could find. But when she's not in that, she's either packing her rifle with a pair of, you know, tight jeans on, or she's not looking presidential. Men look. There's a look you have to have. Women usually look kind of asexual when they're running for office. And I'm grateful that we have some women here in our city who are looking like women running for office and who are actually in office. But, I mean, I digress. It's a whole different thought process that a woman goes through when she becomes a politician, I think. And I think there are people who may or may not agree. I'd love to hear what people think about what I'm saying. But at the same time, it's obvious. You look at someone like a Newt Gingrich, and you look at someone like him who 16 of your people flee. You have to have an ego to say this stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go on with the campaign. Go on where? Your people have left you. You have no people, Moses. You can't get to the mountaintop by yourself. But this dude, his ego is so huge. Let that same scenario have happened to like a Hillary Clinton when she was running. You would have seen her. She would try not to cry, but a tear would have fell. She would have, I must have let my people down. I'm going to revisit this. I'm going to go back to the drawing board and just finish out my term as a senator and do the best job I can do. She would have got the heck out of Dodge, I think. But Newt's ego is as big as his head. So it's, and I'm meaning the one on his shoulders. It definitely is about ego with men in a lot of ways.
So is there a difference, 410-319-8888, between men and women who are in politics? Are men just in it for their own ego to be somebody, and are women in there to actually do something to change? And some people have argued that women, I use the word reluctant, but my friend doesn't like the word reluctant, but women almost be pushed into office. It's not something they go after. It's something they think has to change, a cause that has to be fought for, and they're in it. And there must be some reason why women don't get caught up in these sex scandals, but men do when they're in office.
Well, Mark, beyond that, it also goes back to the whole idea that the more notches a man has on his belt, it's a beautiful thing. But if you find out a woman has notches, that's not a cool thing. If you find out she's sleeping around, her credibility is shot. She's no longer even suitable to be in leadership or to be a wife or to be a good mom. Where the more women that a man has, it's like, oh, he's just sowing his oats. It's just a different look at the whole notion.
It is, but I might throw out there, you may disagree, this others may disagree, I think that's baloney.
Oh, please qualify that, Mark Steiner.
Baloney?
No,
salami?
Not the baloney. The notion that there's not a double standard.
No, there is a double standard. I'm saying the double standard is ridiculous, that there is no reason for that to be. We create that standard. In terms of that, there's no difference between men and women. We make that difference.
Well, the difference is such an imprint now, Mark, that it takes...
It has to do with ownership. It has to do with what you think you own.
It would take a campaign to eradicate the thinking. That's how imprinted it is in our psyches. I mean, you got to admit that. It would take a campaign to undo the damage of that double standard. So having said that, you take a look at how they're getting caught. These men aren't even slick. You know, the article that we're talking about are saying how much smarter women are that do cheat. I mean, it's almost like when they cheat, you're the last to know. When a man cheats, you're the first to know because doofus comes home with lipstick on his collar or he smells like a women's perfume. You know, it's not sleek at all, Mark. And so the deal is that this article talks about, you know, why women don't get caught, because women are even smarter at cheating. I know that sounds kind of bad, but they're even smarter at cheating. I don't know, women, what you think about that. But here's something that was crazy. Go ahead.
Okay. And then we've got the phone chance. I don't know what the name is on line one, but we're about to go to line one anyway. Go ahead.
No, I can take this point.
Let's go to line one, and whoever you are, say who you are. Because our screen's not working today. Hello, line one. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, how are you, Mark?
Well, welcome.
Well, you know, when you talk about women being compassionate, we have a mayor in this city who's not only not compassionate, but just doesn't care. And, you know, and when you talk about women being in it for change, I know of one man in this city, Perrin J. Mitchell, who was definitely in it for change. But the current mayor we have and some of the women we have serving us in this city are truly lacking of compassion or caring.
In what regard? Because that's an interesting point.
Well, I'll put it this way. The mayor of this city has shown that she just doesn't care. She's demonstrated in a lot of ways. In fact, one of the ways she demonstrated when that young man, 12-year-old young man, was killed, she didn't even have the decency to even show up at the funeral.
Hmm.
And I know that because I was there.
Hmm.
And the mayor has shown any woman who would cut funding from recreation centers and other things, the children truly doesn't have compassion for anybody's children. She's shown that. And any woman who during a blizzard could care less, could show the kind of incompassion that she showed, tells me that this is a woman who isn't worthy to be in leadership, not only a mayor of Baltimore City, but she isn't worthy of leading a dog around the corner, much less a city.
Hmm.
I know, brother, when you call, I know you have a real thing about the current sitting mayor. And
it's not a matter of hate. It's just
I didn't say hate. I said
it's a matter of the fact that I don't like what she's done as mayor, right. And quite frankly, don't want to see her as mayor again.
All right. And this election will tell the tale.
Absolutely.
And next hour we'll be talking to Catherine Pugh, one of the people who would like to become mayor, and see what she says about her take on the city. But we'll do that next hour.
Mm.
And we want to hear your thoughts on differences between men and women, if there are those differences, when it comes to how they run for office, why they run for office, why they're not busted on scandals, why they're not like Mr. Weiner, who is now, even President Barack Obama has asked Mr. Weiner to step aside.
Absolutely. You know, and when the president has to get involved with...
Subtly, he has some...
You know, in a subtle way. But, I mean, there's not too many instances where your behavior is so deplorable that the commander-in-chief kind of gives you a sidebar, like, come on now. I mean, just bow out. You can't do it gracefully because now the grace is gone. Just get out of Dodge is what's being said. Ego again, Mark. Why is he not? Why is he not why is he not relinquished his office? Why? Do you have an idea?
Oh, I think it's ego. I think he had, because he was a man on the rise. They were talking about him running for mayor of New York City. They were talking, you know, he was the, too bad for the progressive side, he was the bulldog on the progressive side who came out there swinging for single-payer health care. He was, you know, always on Rachel Maddow's show. He was always there talking what he had to talk. It is all ego. And he's probably totally freaked out. That everything he wanted is now falling apart because of...
But the thing is that kills me. How could you be freaked out when every law in the universe says you only get absolutely what you give? And if you're around the corner slipping and dipping and sneaking, you cannot believe that it will never come back to haunt you. And so, you know, when people get so surprised, oh, I mean, even now, I know this is off topic, but this is a politician as well. I mean, Schwarzenegger's mistress is speaking out about her affair with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She calls him Arnie affectionately, and she says that she hopes that Arnie and Maria work out because he really loves her, and he's a great dad, and he's a great guy. She has, like, compassion for the man that she has mothered a child with, you know? I mean, it's amazing to me how we can flip the whole notion. This guy is the governor of California. And she's trying to get you to be compassionate because he, you know, she told Maria, it wasn't just him. It takes two people. And, you know, I just wish you could. What is going on here? Like, where's the accountability, Mark? Like, where's the accountability for your behavior? And what about the consequences of your behavior? Should you not reap that which you sow? I'm one of those people. Yes, I do believe in forgiveness, but I also believe there should be some consequence. If not, then the world would be amok. This would be literally civil, it would be just uprisings right now. If it was as bad as our last caller proposes, we would all be running naked in the middle of the street right now, screaming, asking for help because we're just destitute. But, you know, I don't know. I thought about what, you know, there was a female politician who got caught up. Hmm. You know, this article talked about it. It says, you know, she wasn't immune. Nikki Haley.
Oh, and she was
from South Carolina.
Right.
She's running for the South Carolina governor. She was accused of adultery last year while running for office. She denied it, and she was elected. She denied it. I don't think that there was any probing. She just denied it, and she was elected.
410-319-8888. Your thoughts? Don't have a name, but please identify yourself on line one. Hello? Do we have line one up? All right. We'll try line two when it comes in. 410-319-8888. We've got all kinds of electronic booby traps. We want to get you on the air.
So we do want to get you on the air. Mark and I do love to just sit and chat, but we would love to hear.
We want to hear your thoughts.
We'd love to hear your thoughts about this. But did you hear about the crotch shot allegations?
The what?
The crotch shot. There was a state legislator in Wyoming, because women have had issues. There was a state legislator in Wyoming named Barbara Cuban. And Barbara ran for the House in 1994, and she was accused of lewd pranks. They said that she would take photographs of her male colleagues' crotches, and she'd distribute, shall we say, male genitalia-shaped cookies. She would bake cookies and distribute them. That is absolutely bizarre, Mark. And she later said that the cookies were a gift from someone else, and dismissed the pictures as, you know, just, what is that word, scurrilous or whatever. Scurrilous.
I mean, I think.
Who does that, Mark? Who takes pictures of your male colleagues' crotches and then brings cookies in?
It's
that right there, that's a woman on the edge. She had bigger issues than being a politician. There was something psychologically unstable about Barbara Cuban.
People and their sexuality have always been have always been much wilder and crazier than our puritanical world
absolutely
wants to say.
Absolutely, but
you know, so the question: what is normal? What is abnormal? Is a whole other thing. And what we, you know, what do people think? Let me see if we can get a caller in here.
Okay, go, Mark.
Can we try line two? See if we can do that. Line two, you on the air?
Hi, how are you this evening?
Hey, welcome.
Good evening.
We got you.
Good evening. Hi. One of the things I want to contribute to the discussion is
we lost you.
You still there?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I see. On the issue of forgiveness, to forgive is not to condone the behavior. We've got to be real clear about what is going on when we talk in spiritual terms about forgiveness. It doesn't mean I condone your behavior. It means that I free myself from, revenge and retribution, and I move on. The other thing I want to contribute is there is a different standard where women are concerned. For years I worked as a legal secretary. When the women first started coming into the field, you should have seen those women. They were in suits, they were in shirts, and they were actually in ties. I mean, I don't know if you remember that far back, Mark, but perhaps.
I might, but I don't remember that. But go ahead.
Okay. and that's in one field. And so there is definitely a different standard. And there is, in a law firm, a man measures how far his office is from the windows. Then he wants to corner office. It's the same with the politicians. The male politicians assume a particular territorial reserve comes with their being in politics. So that's my contribution to the discussion.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. That was so apropos. Ties, Mark. I think that's overcompensatory behavior to show that you should be taken seriously because you're coming into a serious profession.
Well, see, I think women, in many ways, are still not being taken seriously.
No, absolutely.
On lots of levels. Women are just not. And you know, it. You look at what is it now? We only 13% of really legislators in the whole country are women.
That's just crazy.
13%.
That's crazy, Mark.
So we take line three. Or good break. Let's go take line three, and see who's on there. And if you could identify yourself, that'd be great.
My name's Corey. I just got accepted to the doctoral and public health program at Morgan State.
Congratulations!
Thank you. It's been a long journey. But I was just talking to my mom, and it really goes back to, as I'm not sure of your guest's name.
Michelle.
I just called because we just had this discussion last night about the relationship that I saw with my mother and my father. My mother stayed home. My father worked full time. And although I love my mother, I didn't have the same admiration that I had for my father. So it was easy for me to kind of play the field and have a lot of women because I didn't see the respect and love that I had for my mother that I had for my dad. And I look at a lot of the guys that I grew up with, and we all love our moms to death. But for the men in our lives, we look at them differently. And my father, he's a CPA. He has a master's degree. He's a college professor. He's retired twice. He's very accomplished. And we saw that, and we saw, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to make money, take care of the women in my lives. I've always showered the women in my lives. I'm newly married, but I've always just bought a lot of things and provided a lot of gifts, but really didn't give all the love and respect and the integrity to the relationship. I'm 34 now, but I'm starting to see, and I just took some time to really look deep within myself, why is it that I needed to have all these notches in my belt?
Right.
Wow.
It goes back to just having that in-depth conversation with self and just having that pure conversation to say, you know, it's not just my own ideal about me, but it goes back to how I looked at women. If I had a different respect and regard for women, I would never disrespect my father. But my mother, sure, I would tell her, you know, hey, I'll tell her straight up. But my dad, it was a matter of respect. So how easy it was for me to have a lot of women and treat them in a grimy manner because I didn't have that same level of respect and admiration until I got older and understood. It took a lot for mommy to be home. And I have to take care of four children and to go through the sacrifices of doing homework and being tired. And
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a different level of respect for her, so I can respect my wife differently because I understand what my mother went through and I look at her differently. And then you have the flip side of that where men are not in the picture, and then you have the household where the mother pacifies the boys and she treats them like they're her boyfriends. So they grow up with a different love for their mother, but they treat women badly. And when they treat women bad, they always know they can run back to mommy because she's been taking care of them for so long. I have friends that are 30, 40 years old who still live in the basement, and anything they need, mother pays their cell phone bill, pays their car insurance, makes excuses. They have no education. But this is just the nature of the beast, and it's the young men get arrested. I have a friend who's locked up now, and I'll end on this. He's locked up. He killed a guy for $40, and I saw his mother one day in the store, and she said, you know, they didn't have to give my baby all that time, and they gave him 25 years. He has to do, like, I think 85% of it because it's federal. And I said, what do you mean they didn't have to give him all that time? You know, it really wasn't his fault. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He didn't mean to kill a guy. He just, you know, the gun went off, and it was excuse after excuse, and there's no accountability. Whatever happened to existentialism and personal responsibility that I studied, you know, growing up, and that my father instilled in us, is just not there anymore. The household is broken, so you expect men to be accountable for their actions when everybody has an excuse? Why is bitter still in office?
That is so good.
Corey, that is an amazing, Tristis.
We thank you so much because that was so transparent, and I'm sure that some of the other callers will definitely glean some information from those awesome, insightful words.
They will, and we'll see what they think. And then we come back from this very brief break and go to our callers here on line 3 and 4 who are holding on, and we'll come back to other callers who are calling in right now. 410-319-8888 is the number here. As we go to break, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner here with Michelle Comedienne.
Yes, Michelle, the indie mom of comedy. This is Michelle. Always great to be here, Mark. And this is a very, very thrilling conversation. But you have some stuff you need to share with us.
I have to share this with us, that WEAA is proud to be a media sponsor for Thursdays at the Lewis, presented by Reginald F. Lewis Museum. This Thursday, June 16th, features Mark Evans and the Soul Centered Band from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. The Reginald F. Lewis Museum is located at 830 East Pratt Street in Baltimore. For more information, you can call 443-263-1800 or just go to AfricanAmericanCulture.org. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Let us go to line four and tell us who you are. Welcome.
Good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Michelle.
Good evening.
My name is Youssef, and I wondered, what is the topic of the discussion tonight?
Well, it started. Let me tell you where it began. The topic began when we look at all these kind of things that are popping up all around the country around sex scandals and politics. They always seem to involve men. Some people argue that women approach life, politics, and the way we do things very differently and aren't into the same power trip games that men are, and that's part of the issue. That's what you start out talking about.
Okay. Because I heard Michelle mention, and she was responding to, I think, caller number two, and she had mentioned that if things continue as they are, then people would be running around the street naked, screaming for help.
I'm so sorry.
Why?
I'm so sorry for you not getting the gist of that. That came from one of the callers saying
how
chaotic the city was being run.
Okay, but I mean, what occurred to me is that people are running around the street naked screaming for help, and there's no help.
Hmm.
And see, what I hear, and I mean, I agree that, of course, Wiener should step down. What was he doing? He spent most of his time. How's he going to be mayor of New York when he can't stop sex? Chasing, and you know, he's got some issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
But and there was a mention of Obama even saying that he needs to step down. Obama's not saying anything about the five or six Republicans that also are under sex charges in Congress and the Senate, a sex issue. I mean, so the things are really out of hand, and sexism and racism are really at the bottom of it, and the class oppression and. So, I mean, it's a great deal of insanity going on in the country, and there is no help. And then there is the caliber of politicians that are conducting themselves the way they are, Schwarzenegger and the worst of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, anyway, I just wanted to call in. I said, well, let me find out what the topic is, because I heard it going in a number of different places. But I appreciate, Mark, you have great shows.
Thank you, Youssef.
And, y'all continue the good work, and thank you so much for your work and support of Eddie Conway and his new book.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Youssef.
And I do support Eddie Conway and the book that he's written, and he should be free walking the streets and not locked up in jail. But I think that to me this is not as simple as you make it. Then we go to line one, and maybe you won't agree, Michelle. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But
yes,
I think
sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
I think that we... Two things. I mean, I think we make sometimes too much of people's private sexual activities. It's people's business, not the world's.
You said that before, but if you chose a public life, like being a politician, then you're simply inviting those extra eyes into some. And while it may or may not be fair, it is one of the realities, just like we talked about the double standard of women. This has become a paradigm in politics. Not, I didn't mean to say that, but in politics, because sincerely, if you choose to live your life in front of the people, there are some things, unfortunately, that sacrifice as a result.
Especially in the world we're in today, where people just want to expose everything that exists.
Yes.
Everything about it.
In real time. So when you had
And that becomes news instead of the news we should be caring about.
Absolutely. And it clouds real news. It takes the space and time of real news, no newsworthy things that we spend our time missing because we're hearing about Wiener.
Unfortunate name. 410-319-8888.
Apropos name.
Let's go to line one. Tell us who you are and what do you want to talk about?
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, Mark and Michelle. It's Beth from Northeast Baltimore. My husband and I have been talking about this quite a bit lately, the differences in the way women and men approach politics. So I could talk to you all night, but I'm going to keep this real brief because I've got a lot of callers. But one thing I do want to mention is what could kill a woman's political career is her role as a mother, because we look at women differently when it comes to parenting. I don't think we hold men responsible in the same way for parenting as we do women. So that could kill a woman's political career if something came out about her mothering and how she treated her children.
I don't think
women get involved in sex scandals because I don't think that's how women treat power. We don't use our power and abuse our power with sex. But I do think what would kill a woman's political career is if she came out as a bad mother, or she used an illegal immigrant as a nanny, as I know that happened to a female politician.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would kill a woman's political career. I think that's what, it, because of the way we view parenting, and we view women and men very differently as far as parenting. Not fair, double standard again, but that's just the way I'm my opinion.
That's a very good spin on that.
Really,
and
I
thank you
really
so much for that
spin.
Call, because there is a huge amount of validity to that, because absolutely, if you happen to be a politician and you're also a mother, and we find out that you're not what we would consider a good mother, which is relative, because you can only be the kind of mother that you know or that's been demonstrated to you unless you decide to go a different route. I mean, I tell people all the time, if you came from a family where they didn't hug and they didn't kiss, but they took good care of you, you made sure you had a good place to live and a good food to eat, that was their way of parenting. Doesn't mean it was good or bad, but it just may have left you with a deficit emotionally. So again, you want to run for office, you want to be a politician, you want to be out in the front, and you want to also be a mom. Take somebody bold to take that step. I mean, I'm living in that, but not as a politician, but as an entertainer and a social justice advocate. I mean, I'm out there in the front line, but I have three small children. But again, I have a great co-parenting situation. My husband is very active. So I do agree with the last caller that if it turns out that I'm a bad mom, then it would slow ticket sales at comedy shows to come see me. It would definitely take away from so many things in terms of me being able to be successful in that other venture.
And as someone also said, in terms of being a mother,
mm-hmm.
And a politician or a political leader, as one political woman said, I wouldn't have time for all this stuff because I'm a political leader, but I'm also a mother.
Right.
And a lot of fathers are not home dealing with that, but women are.
Absolutely, Mike.
And you know, so that and the other part is that men, and let's put this out here, 410-319-8888, we are raised in a culture, and I would say most cultures on the planet are like this at this moment,
mm-hmm.
where women are tantamount to property. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's a question of ownership. That even sexually, it's ownership.
That's a slippery slope you're sliding down.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And it's a way the attitudes men have about that.
Right.
And I think that it is doubled with men in power.
I think it is quadrupled.
Quintupled.
Yes. Well, I don't know what six is. You're making me feel like a bad Jeopardy contestant. But absolutely.
But I mean, men in power— I mean, they are
the exemptions they feel,
right?
Right, and it goes into a really bad way. So I'd love to hear what this caller on the line's been waiting to say, Mark. What about you?
We have to wait till this little number pops up here on the side, and then I'll know I can pick up the phone at 410-319-8888. Line one, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. This is James calling from Baltimore.
James, welcome.
Hello, James.
Well, I've tried three times. I'm glad to get on. Listen. You know, this is going to be, I'll probably get a follow-up call with this, but I think we're giving women a little bit too much credit, and here's why. Let me tell you something. Whether it be politics, other facets of professional life, women are involved in affairs, and quite a bit. I've seen this firsthand in two major corporations that I've worked for. But see, here's the thing. Men don't tell. Men don't tell, and most people, whether it be media, whomever, don't seek the bad doings of women in politics or what have you. Men don't tell.
What do you mean? What do you mean men don't tell? What is that? What do you mean?
Well, you take these cases where you take Congressman Weiner, whomever, in Hollywood or whatever. When a man goes down, the first thing that happens is everybody comes out of the woodwork. If there's three women, they come out of the woodwork. If there's one, if there's money involved, she tells. If a man has an illicit affair or whatever with a woman who's in a powerful position, men don't mention it, but women do in a lot of cases. So that's what I mean, Mark. Men generally don't tell. So it seems that women are not doing these things, but that's not true. I'm not saying they do it as much, but they do.
So is there some merit in the not telling? Because I want to understand, when you say men are not telling, is there something, you know, celebratory in their not telling?
It's just a fact, you know. It's just a thing that, you know, with men and women have different codes. If a man has an affair with a powerful woman, generally men just don't talk about it. That's just something that we don't do.
I don't know.
I do know.
I mean, I'm sure you know. Let's say you know from your experience, and I don't
doubt that. No.
I don't doubt that at all.
Well, I mean, the one thing that is true, I mean, there are almost as many, if not as many, women or more having whatever people have as men do, because who are men doing it with? Right?
That's a question, Mark. That has a lot of interpretations. But I think the caller made an interesting point in that there's a different dynamic in which men and women find themselves when they're in those states of having these illicit, you know, activities. You know, he's saying men don't tell. He's saying that women react differently. I'll just say this. Either you're telling or you're not telling, but some way it gets out. And when it gets out, there's a different effect that it would have on the life of a female politician as opposed to the life of a male politician. I promise you, Congressman Wiener is going to walk away. He's going to get his own talk show. He's going to write a book. He's going to get a movie deal probably.
He might get a talk show and a book.
He's going to get something out of this. And in some way, there'll be a group of men cheering him on for just doing it his way, for the whole John Wayne, you know, I did it my way, even though it was lewd, even though it was in poor taste. There are some people who are actually finding some humor and some entertainment in this. And if it were a woman in this position, like the lady who was taking pictures of the crotches, I mean, that was just absurd, you know, the legislator. But I don't think that they're going to offer her, a lifetime movie deal for being the crotch picture taker lady. I just don't. The crotch lady. She's not going to get a deal. Making cookies?
Not in Wyoming anyway. But
Wyoming.
Is that where she's from?
Yes.
It's not going to get in Wyoming.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But again, I mean, what we have also is a technology that got people like Wiener. I mean, people used to have these quiet phone calls they would make to each other. You'd have to write a letter.
They started off quietly.
But then then the emails and Twitter and...
Right. Real time, the Kwame Kilpatrick situation, where he was texting his lover on the city of Detroit's phone that they paid for. You're not using your brain.
If it's on the web, it's public knowledge.
Absolutely. So again, it's just a different. I don't know if they're not telling. I just think they're just doing something differently.
410-319-8888, line two. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Clark from Northeast.
Clark, how are you?
Okay. Yeah, good subject. What I think people are not realizing that with, you know, these politicians,
You're breaking up a little bit. Let's start that over, see if we can get a better connection, man, or it's breaking up a little. Stay again.
Okay. A lot of the politicians are like superstars, you know, or celebrities in a way, and they draw a lot of attention. You know, and they go through a lot, you know, groupies and things like that, people that follow them, and they get razzed and so forth. And that, I think, has a mental effect on them, and you probably lose a little bit of touch of reality. Case in point, when I was in the military, I got promoted to a position, and it was this one young lady in my unit. You know, very nice looking. Everybody really liked her. All of a sudden, she started acting, interested, you know, towards me. And a couple of times, I thought she was trying to set me up because it was so brazen, you know. And if I wasn't thinking about my career, I could have fell into some stuff. But not everybody is always that, you know, lucky, you know. So things like that happen.
Well, that's smart.
I don't think, you know, like we could look at the mayor of Detroit. I forgot his name.
Kwame Kilpatrick.
Right. He went through the same kind of thing, and he was, you know, he had to step down. I think Wiener ought to step down too. But the other thing I'd like to make too. Women out here are doing it, you know, just the same. It's you know, the guys the last caller said, guys ain't saying that much. But you know, I think when the women are more critical of men and critical of themselves in situations like that. That's all I have to say.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That. Thank you so much for that. You know, I'm just go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just thinking about what you were saying. I mean, it that we as human beings can allow ourselves to be lured sexually very easily.
Hmm.
You know, I mean.
It's one of the devices that's always been used for good and for evil. It's like a secret superpower. You can use your powers for good or for evil. But I will say this, Mark. It's an interesting thing that was noted in this article that you and I talked about. They say that when voters find out men have ethics and honesty issues, they say, well, I expected that. But when they find out it's a woman, they say, I thought she was better than that. That's an interesting way of dealing with the coming out or getting the news. I thought she was better. How come she has to be better than that? But yeah, you kind of expect that from a powerful male politician. It goes beyond my understanding why that's the case.
Because in most cultures and societies, men have held the power, still hold the power.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the, 465 congressional representatives,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Only 16% are women.
Yeah, 16%. That's what they said.
In a country where over 50% of the people who live here are women.
Yeah, it's 355 seats in Congress, and 16.6% of those seats belong to women, and 23.5% of the seats in state legislatures. And there are only 6 female governors of 100 big city mayors. There are only 8 women.
Yeah, six mayors of 100.
8 mayors that are women in 100 cities. And 6 female governors in the country.
And here in Baltimore is one of them.
Absolutely.
410-319-8888. Let's see who's been on the longest. I think it's, looking at these numbers, line 1, you're on the air.
Yes.
Welcome.
I wanted to agree with the last comment regarding politicians being men, you know, male and female. With male politicians, they look at them in a different light. A female, if she was to come out and they find out information, what they do is they put their information out there and make them out to be, sluts.
Mm-hmm.
They make them look like sluts. The males, they're heroes. They treat them in a different manner. They might get put their finger slapped for a minute, but after a while, they're able to go back in there. A woman, if she was attempting to go back into Congress or she was attempting to go back in a position of power, then what they do is they make her look like a bad person. Like, okay, she wasn't supposed to make any mistakes. You know, just like the men, they make mistakes, women make mistakes. I'm not saying that you're supposed to condone the act, because I wouldn't condone the act. But at the same time, there is forgiveness. There was a lady on earlier saying you don't condone the act, but you offer forgiveness. Mm-hmm. They don't forgive women at all.
That's a very, very
That's a really important
statement.
I think it is true.
That is. It's a strong statement, and it's a true statement, Mark. The forgiveness factor is definitely not always favorable for women.
I think that's true. Again, it's who dominates this culture, who makes the rules. 410-319-8888. Line 3, is it? Is that what you said? Yeah. Go ahead. Line 3, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
I have to say, you know, we've been talking about how men and women are treated differently.
Yes.
That's the reality of existence. There's no unisex standard. Men are viewed differently from women.
But
people have to realize that.
What's the, is there a difference here between the notion of somebody being viewed differently and being treated differently?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely. They go hand in hand. And people would like to overlook that. They want to make this unisex standard for men and women. That's just not reality. And a lot of people won't speak out.
But I understand it's a pretty big generality. What are you saying in specifically? What does that mean?
In terms of how men and women are viewed, Michelle said, Wiener will probably go off, get a TV show, write a book. He may. But let me tell you, among men, real men, he's considered a wiener. He's stupid. He's an idiot. He should have stuck to his story. All he had to say wasn't me. Story would have blown over.
Well,
he was too
true.
Weak to stick behind the story. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but this would not have been if he had just stuck to his story. He's an idiot. He makes it hard for all men. Well, women, too, who mess up, because we all mess up. But why give it up so people can slap you with it? He deserves everything he gets because he should have kept his mouth shut, stuck the story, moved on with his business. He didn't do that. I'm sorry. There is just a different standard.
No,
it's not so much who makes the rules.
Right. Michelle,
that's
the reality. We both agree that there has definitely been a different standard created. We're just talking about whether that is a standard that's actually right, reasonable, and sound. You know, we do agree that there is a standard. I don't know that that means that we ought to live with it or perpetuate it, but we certainly do see that there is a standard. And in terms of just a quick comment in response to he should have stuck to his story, the evidence against him was absolutely so overwhelming. Even if he stuck to his story, then he would look like he had a psychological issue at that point. He would look like he was not well, because he evidenced himself with his own picture. So it's just really bizarre. Although you people could, you know, argue Photoshop and some other little legal maneuverings, it would be obvious that it was Mr. Weiner in those
and
photos.
For me, sticking to his story, it's
lacks
hard,
integrity.
It's hard to come to, but the bottom line, because it takes some of us years to come to it, the bottom line that in relationships between human beings, take the politics out of it for a minute, that the operative word should be honesty.
Hmm.
And in honesty, there's clarity. You know, it's like a friend of mine, we tease him all the time because he has lots of girlfriends, call him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But he's completely honest about it. They know, he knows, he's not lying. And the lie is the problem. People can set their own standards of what they want to do with life, but the lying is the problem.
I think you need to operationally define honesty, because people can really maneuver that word. I have a friend who has lots of friends in their lives, too, and his word is they all know what position I take. But again, you know, that is very relative. It should be a very defined, you know, idea of what honesty means to you and how that translates in your world, and I can see if it matches up with my world, and then we can go from there. Thank God I'm married.
Yes, you are. And well married.
Yes.
Good kids.
12 years coming
Good husband.
Up. 12 years coming
Beautiful
up.
Children.
Absolutely.
Good life.
You're not going to catch me in the news. Trust me. Trust me, people. There will be no news about Michelle, the indie mom of comedy, no matter what venture I go from here or there. You'll only get news in the Urbanite about the work I'm doing.
And we have to roll, but we have to come back soon to talk about your
gold diggers.
We'll
absolutely talk about gold diggers.
But that's in August.
We have some time, so.
So we'll make sure we do that.
Absolutely.
And we got to get some of your gold diggers on the air with us.
For sure. For sure. They'd be excited to do it.
Comedian Michelle has been with us one more time. She'll be here every month.
Yes.
Comedian, actress, 2011 OSI fellow, founder of this remarkable project in Park Heights called the Gold Diggers Project, which we will come back to. Michelle, always lovely to see you.
Thank you, Mark. Mark, thank you, WEAA, for an awesome discussion.
On the way out, I remind you this broadcast of the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Transit Administration. The Maryland Transit Administration is a proud sponsor of the Black Male Identity Project. For more information, www.morethan28days.com, and that's the number 28, morethan28days.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be joined by State Senator Catherine Pugh, who's seeking to become the next mayor of the city of Baltimore. We'll be right back.